them is his messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon him, his companions, his household, and those who follow him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wakil, the one whom we depend on to take care of our business on our behalf. And this raises an important question, that at what point should we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to step in a way that shows his greatness and power, suspend the laws of nature, and aid his slave in a miraculous way? At what point it happens? And we always wonder when. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Naml speaks about signs of his greatness. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ. Among the signs of his greatness, among the signs of his greatness. And at one of them, he's mentioning that أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءِ. Who is the one that aids the muttar, the desperate, when that desperate calls on him for help, and then he uncovers the harm. He protects that desperate person and uncovers the harm. And the word desperate is the one that explains to us at what point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will interfere in a miraculous way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says al-muttar by definition is the one who runs out of things to do. That's it. He did everything within his or her power and ability as a human being. That's it. It's done. There's nothing else to do. At that point, this muttar calls on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I've done everything within my power, and now there's nothing else to do. At that point, if Allah decides that this is the wise thing to do, Allah will step in a miraculous way, suspend the laws of nature, and aids his slave, saves his slave in a miraculous way. This was obvious. This is obvious in the event of the Hijrah, which is the most important event in the history of Islam, because it marks the rise of Islam as a righteous superpower. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did everything that he can do for planning for this hijrah. Medina is north. He started traveling south. He did hide in the cave of Thawr. He did make arrangements with Ali ibn Abi Talib to stay in his bed. He did make arrangements with Asma bint Abi Bakr to follow him with her goats and sheep to cover his footsteps. He made arrangements with her also to bring him food and drink. He made arrangement with his brother to bring him the news in the cave. He made all possible arrangements that was within his reach. Yet he came to an absolute failure 3 times. At that point, he have fulfilled the condition required for the state al-muttar, the desperate. The first time when they surrounded his house foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder, and with sharp swords, 40 men from 40 different tribes. At that point, the Prophet can't do anything. That's it. The minute he steps out, the minute he will be slaughtered. And at that point, Allah suspended the laws of nature, put all 40 people into sleep, which is very unnatural way. It's a miraculous thing to do. And when they, all 40 of them at the same time, went to sleep, the Prophet safely stepped out and he started his journey. The second time the Prophet became desperate is when he was hiding in the cave, and they have arrived to the cave, and they are searching around the cave, searching at the cave and around the cave. Allah at that point suspended the laws of nature and made them unable to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr. They looked into the cave, there was nobody there, and they said, let's go, nobody here. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr were in the cave. And the third time the Prophet became desperate, muttar, was when he was caught by, or when Suraqah ibn Malik arrived to the location that the Prophet was in. And then at that point, the Prophet became muttar, desperate again. Allah suspended the laws of nature. So if Suraqah is traveling towards the Prophet, the sand becomes a quicksand, and it starts swallowing Suraqah and his horse. When Suraqah travels away from the Prophet, the sand is good and is solid sand, and it's carrying Suraqah and his horse. The minute he makes a U-turn and tries again, it becomes a quicksand. This is not natural. This is not what we expect from the laws of nature. The quicksand is a quicksand any direction you travel. So that condition, al-muttar, when you run out of things to do, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aids you, even with a miraculous way, suspending the laws of nature. If he decides that this is the wise thing to do at that point. People sometimes make silly, ridiculous argument, saying, this is the job of Allah to do, this is not my job. And he is al-wakil, the one whom we should depend on. And I shouldn't be doing this job. And that is a silly, ridiculous argument that Allah has spoken about in Surah An-Naml. When Allah, not in Surah An-Naml, in Surah Yasin. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the people, when they are asked to spend for the sake of Allah, قَالُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ قَالُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ. When they are told to spend money for the sake of Allah, they say, should we do the job of Allah? That's the job of Allah, not our job. He should be the one who is feeding the poor and the needy, not us. And indeed, this is a silly, ridiculous argument. Yes, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that Allah can feed the poor and needy. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that. We all know that. But the question is, Allah wants the poor and needy to be fed by us, not by Him. That's what He wants. He doesn't want it to be done directly by Him. He wants to be done through us, so that we are tested. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَعَلَ فِي رِزْقِ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مَا يَكْفِي الْفُقَرَاءِ وَمَا جَاعَ فَقِيرٌ إِلَّا بِتُخْمَةِ غَنَيْهِ. Allah has provided the shares of the poor people and the wealth of the good people and the wealth of the rich people and the share of the rich people. So every time you see a hungry poor person, it's because a rich person is holding his shares that Allah has given to test him whether he's going to pay the zakat or not. He's getting obese and a poor person is getting hungry because of that, because he's starving. So that's the way Allah wants us to feed the poor and needy. Not that because should we do, they are doing, this is like a silly, ridiculous argument that says, should we do the job that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do? Dr. Qaradawi was once asked, why the Muslim Ummah is praying for help and protection and support and aid from Allah, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not interfering in a miraculous way to save the Muslim Ummah out of the misery, suspending the laws of nature so that the Muslim Ummah will get out of this condition. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not doing that at this point? And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not do our job, because the Muslim Ummah is able to defend itself. The responsibility of defending the weak Muslims fall onto the shoulders of the strong Muslims. The strong Muslims can support the weak Muslims. And the weak Muslims did not reach to the condition of al-muttar, the ones who runs out of everything to do. There's a lot of strong people in the Muslim Ummah that are able to aid the poor Muslims and able to aid the weak Muslim and protect them, but they are not doing their job. Allah wants the strong to defend the weak. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that Allah can support the weak and save them Himself. But that's not the way He wants it to be done. He wants it to be done through the strong, because it's a test for the strong to prove and establish a submission to Allah, to demonstrate submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Islam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same thing, why wouldn't, you know, if you extend that, you may ask yourself, or you say, why didn't Allah send us translated Qur'ans? Qur'an in English, Qur'an in Urdu, Qur'an in different language. Because again, it is the responsibility of the people who know Arabic to translate the Qur'an. That's our responsibility. Definitely Allah can do it, but that's not the way Allah wants it to be done. He gave us the one we can't do ourselves, which is, you know, bringing the Arabic Qur'an. There's nobody who can do that. And then it is our responsibility to translate it. It is, you go to the United Nations, there is an Arabic translator. You go everywhere, it is, and the languages are dynamic and change with time. It is our responsibility at a specific generation to translate the Quran to a language that is understandable by the people who live in a specific place at a specific time, using the terms that they use at this time, not using ancient terms that nobody at this time is able to understand, or it is very difficult to understand. So it is our responsibility. Finally, there is a verse in Surah Al-Baqarah that draws the circle of our responsibility. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah does not order or obligate anybody more than what he or she can do. More than whatever is within their reach and circle of influence. And we always use this verse as an excuse. But this verse is a responsibility assignment verse. Because if you flip the verse the other way, it means that anything within your reach, anything that you can do, Allah is obligating you to do it. So He's not obligating you to do something beyond your reach, means that He's obligating you to do everything within your reach. And this is why in the Day of Judgment, He's judging you relative to your ability. He's not going to judge the king the way He judges the slave. He's not going to judge the rich the way He judges the poor. Because the circle of influence for each one and the circle of ability and reach for each one is different. I cannot judge the poor, why didn't you go for Hajj? I cannot judge the poor, why didn't you pay zakat? But Allah will definitely judge the poor, why didn't you go for Hajj? Why didn't you pay zakat? So that verse determines again that whatever within responsibility, the final conclusion, whatever within our ability to reach, within our ability to do, it's our responsibility. Don't play stupid and say, أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ. Should we feed the ones that Allah can feed Himself? Don't say that. Because it is within your responsibility to do that yourself. Whatever you can to do, Allah will do on your behalf. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه.